Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Hey, everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 437.
On Now You Know. So according to China EV Data Tracker, Tesla sold 5.2% more Model Ys in China in 2024 than in 2023. Tesla sold 480,000 Model Ys in China in 2024, making it the best-selling vehicle in China in 2024.
Wait, if that's true, then how come I haven't seen any of this in the legacy media?
Right. Car News China reported it because they own China EV Data Tracker. CNBC kind of reported it, I guess you could say, but they had to do that thing where they like backhanded complimented Tesla.
But this year is going to be tough as competition heats up. But they've been saying this for years.
Listen, you're not doing a very good job of convincing me.
Also, no other legacy media covered it?
Yep. Because it's not the way they want the story to go. And now that Tesla has launched the Juniper, you know, refreshed Model Y in China as of January 10th, sales of the Model Y could be even stronger this year. Also, as Tesla's VP, Grace Tao, pointed out, Tesla has not recalled a vehicle in China in the past 6 years.
When did Tesla start selling cars in China?
Tesla sold about 4,500 Model S's in China starting way back in 2014. Those were made in Fremont and then shipped to China. But it wasn't until Giga Shanghai was up and running in January of 2020 that Tesla started selling high volumes of cars in China.
That means that every car made in Giga Shanghai has not been recalled?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy. So what was the second best-selling car in China last year?
It was close. The number two was the BYD Quin Plus sedan with 480,025 units sold.
Wow. So Model Y beat out BYD by just 284 units.
Now, could they make the grill any bigger?
This is ugly and this is bad.
Well, just talk to BMW. I'm sure they could sort something out.
And speaking of one reason why the Model Y is the best-selling vehicle in the world is because we just proved that you can do this with it.
Nice.
That's right. We told you we would if the snow cooperated. And last night, the snow did cooperate and we got about 6 inches.
So what we're showing you here is how we attach the snow plow to the back hitch of the Model Y. This is a rear hitch snow plow, kind of for homeowners. By the way, you can order Model Y with a rear hitch for an additional $1,000 in the US, $1,300 Canadian.
And we've shown you this before. We've done this on the Rivian R1T, the Ford F-150 Lightning, and the Cybertruck about a week or two ago. And now we are rear snow plowing with the Model Y.
And I gotta say, I wasn't sure when I went out there this morning if the Model Y was gonna have enough power. Cause, you know, 6 inches is a lot of snow, but you know what? It felt like I was driving one of the pickup trucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I've got some good snow tires on there, the Pirelli Scorpions, but not once was power the issue. And in fact, because the Model Y is a smaller vehicle than those pickup trucks, it snowplowed better than the Rivian or the Ford. I mean, I could make some of the tight turns I needed to like right angle in towards the garage or tight into some trees. So we had that cleared in what, about 10 minutes?
Surprisingly good. I mean, it was cool watching all the tires because every once in a while you'd see one of the tires slip and then it would stop. And that is Tesla's traction control system working. Tesla is checking the rotation of all four wheels about 10,000 times a second. So it really knows when you're losing traction and it's able to account for that. I noticed coming in that the two towns that I drove through, pretty marginal job, you know, getting the snow actually off of the road.
Uh-huh.
So there was kind of like that 1 inch layer of slippery, gooey grossness. And the Cybertruck handled really well as well. Because
yeah, and then you just had fun driving over my perfect work there.
Well, that was in Baja mode. So in Baja mode, it shuts off all the traction control. And you
can see, why you're slipping.
That's why I... know, I was playing with the losing control of the vehicle. That's what people like to do.
Yeah, sure, buddy.
It's cool that you can shut it off, but when the traction control is on, it's really, really good. You can basically, you know, give it as much accelerator pedal as you can, and it'll try and push right up to the limit of what it can do, but it's also not going to just spin you off the road, which many people you see do.
Now, if you're looking at my driveway and going, Zach, it is still covered with snow, that is not the Model Y's fault. That is the rear plow's fault. Because it has a nice thick rubber thing so that it won't tear out your cobblestones and stuff, it doesn't get that last half inch, which is unfortunate, but hopefully we'll get enough sun today and that'll get melted.
So we've covered this snow plow before. It's somewhere in the $1,400 to $1,800 range.
Yeah, there's different versions.
It's really plowing for babies, which is good and bad. It has that big rubber bottom, so it can basically trip over steps and stuff like that, which allows you to not destroy things with a full metal plow. So it's really good for homeowners in that sense. It doesn't do any pulling. It's not a professional plow. There are definitely plows that are better than it, but in terms of cost, in terms of ease of use, in terms of the vehicles that can use it, this is a really great option, especially since if you're not a commercial snow plower, time isn't really all that valuable to you. If you're a professional, you need to like get in and get out because you have 400 other driveways right. to do in the night. But if it's your car in your driveway, you have all morning.
I think it pays for itself too in about one season, because whether you're going to buy a snow blower for about $1,400 mm-hmm. or you're going to hire somebody for, in our area, it's about $200 a storm. So if you have six storms, that's pretty much the cost of the plow. And then every year after that, it didn't cost you anything.
And I mean, of course, if you have a really small driveway, maybe it doesn't make any sense and you'll just shovel it. But we have a pretty long driveway and I remember shoveling it. I remember snow blowing it, and plowing it is by far the most fun.
That's what she said.
An easy method to use.
Also, get together with a few neighbors and buy it together as a communal purchase.
And it's
then
true.
One person, you know, a year. Okay, Larry, it's your year.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, could be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
I want to thank Babbel for sponsoring this episode. Babbel is one of the top language learning apps in the world. Now, I've been a Babbel user for quite some time now, and I really like that it pushes me to always be learning something new.
Lui e di Milano.
Self-improvement is so important. Make this the year that you learn a new language.
Babbel is scientifically proven to help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks.
Io sono differenze.
Babbel's simple, bite-sized lessons give you the confidence to speak a new language wherever you go.
The intuitive lessons help you learn a language through real-life conversations and connect with the world.
The lessons prepare you to have practical conversations about travel, business, relationships, and more.
Babbel also uses AI-powered coaching with their new feature, AI Conversation Partner, that provides personalized prompts and scenarios to help users practice conversations in their own words. The AI adapts to the user's level and it provides feedback after each conversation, which is helpful for accents, dialects, and voice ranges.
Io sono differenze. If I'm having problems remembering that, I can go back and redo that lesson until I get it.
Some of the key points that set Babbel apart from the others is that lessons are designed by real language teachers.
Babbel also offers a 20-day money-back guarantee. With just 15 minutes a day, you can start speaking a new language. So try Babbel and see how far a quick 15-minute lesson will get you speaking a new language.
Babbel is the most sold language learning platform with over 16 million subscriptions sold.
So click on our link or scan the QR code to get 60% off your Babbel subscription.
And let us know what language you would like to learn in our comments.
Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring today's episode. So, Tesla has, for the first time ever, overtaken Audi in global car sales.
Wait, are you saying that Tesla sold more vehicles than Audi sold? Like, meaning Audi's EVs and Audi's ICE cars?
That's what I mean. Yeah, Audi sold 1.67 million vehicles globally in 2024, which is down 12% year over year. Tesla sold 1.79 million vehicles globally. So Audi's EV sales declined 8% last year as well. Audi sold a total of just 164,000 units. And something interesting here that John Ehrlichman pointed out, if we go back 10 years to 2014, Audi sold 1.74 million cars. In that same year, Tesla sold 31,655 cars, because that was the early years of Model S.
And everyone back then went, Tesla's never going to catch up with these big automakers. And here we are, the day that Tesla has caught up to Audi.
I knew it! I knew it! I knew it!
So over this time span, Audi has declined in sales by 4%, and Tesla has increased in sales by 5,555%.
That's some good math there. Yep.
So let me get this straight, Hans. You have been in charge of our global auto sales for the past 10 years. Then why are you driving a Cybertruck?
I'm not.
Oh, good. For a moment, I thought you bought a Cybertruck, and I was going to say, you, my friend, are fired.
No. I'm driving that white Model 3. It's really nice. Do you want to see the light show I did with Stefan and his new Cybertruck? So if you drive FSD in a Tesla, then you've probably experienced that once you get parked at a store parking lot and you want to then leave, the car will not go into reverse yet. First world problems.
First world problems. Why won't my Tesla go into reverse yet?
Elon says it must stress the AI out so much that it isn't allowed to reverse yet. It will soon, though.
Ah. Yay, that's good.
Yeah.
I've known a couple people who had cars that, like, the reverse stopped working, and they had to plan their entire lives around it.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. One of them was an encyclopedia salesman.
You just happened to know encyclopedia salesman who had no reverse?
Yes. So he'd drive to people's houses, and he didn't have any reverse.
Wow. So there is an incredible new fan short action film called Tesla Robots Fight Back. It is made by So Crispy Media. It took them 3 years to make, and it is amazing.
You should definitely add it to your watch list. We are going to be talking about it today in this week's Patreon bonus stories. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, the acting is great. The directing is great. The special effects are far out. I can't wait to show it to you guys. So Tesla had its first year-over-year sales decline in the U.S. last year. Sales dropped by 1.1%. And you probably know this already because the media is making a big deal about it.
Now, if you don't read past the headlines, as most people don't, then it could be easy to draw the wrong conclusions.
Jump to conclusions, Matt.
Conclusions that the legacy media would like you to draw.
Conclusions written on it that you could jump to.
That Tesla is doomed.
That EVs are doomed.
That the competition is catching up with Tesla.
Doomed. Doomed.
But if you dig a little deeper, though, you see what they don't want to tell you. According to the latest sales numbers from Cox Automotive, we see that Tesla sold three times as many as the next two EV makers combined.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, so there's the top 10 EV sellers in the US last year. Take GM and Ford, add their EV sales together, now multiply by three, and Tesla still outsold them.
Hmm.
To get a little more granular, here are the top EV models sold in the US in 2024.
Wow, Cybertruck is in at number five?
Yeah.
That's astounding.
Yep.
I mean, it outsold the Lightning. It outsold the Prologue, the Equinox, the Lyriq, the Rivian.
R1T is not even on the list.
And obviously the Model Y simply blew away all the competition.
So you may be asking then, why did Tesla's sales slip? And I think the answer has a few answers. Number one, combined competition. So if we take a look at this chart of EV sales volume change by automaker from 2024 versus 2023, you see that Honda, yes, Honda, had the biggest change last year, and that is simply because they went from zero EVs to selling the GM-produced Chevy Blazer with the Honda Prologue badge on it, called the Prologue, and Honda sold them at a loss.
And we've discussed in previous episodes as to why they did this.
So Ford and GM and Hyundai and even Toyota and Nissan were up last year, not because they make great EVs, but because more and more people are waking up to the fact that EVs are the future of road transportation.
So if you combine Honda, Ford, GM, Hyundai, Kia, Toyota, Nissan, BMW, Subaru, Rivian, Stellantis, Polestar, Mercedes, and VW's EV sales, you actually get about what Tesla sells.
Yeah, let us say it again. 15 companies sold the number of EVs in the US that Tesla did.
So the competition is coming.
Combined. Number two, I think, was the election. I think the U.S. presidential election, which really went into high gear last year and found Elon so actively involved. And let's be honest, many people who typically like electric cars started hating Elon. It's just a fact. I think they'll come around when they realize that most of the stuff they were told about Elon by legacy media isn't true. But regardless, many of them who may have bought Teslas bought competitor brands instead.
Not just MAGA, I'm dark MAGA.
Number three, the economy and inflation. When times are uncertain, when interest rates are high, people typically don't make big purchases. So overall car sales were down.
So the good news is that Q4 EV sales numbers have increased 15.2% from Q4 of 2023 to Q4 of 2024. And that's 1.3 million EVs sold in the US last year. All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
All right, what's our first Cybertruck story?
My Cybertruck. This morning, 6 inches of snow. I wanted to see if the windshield wiper, because it wipes down on its first wipe, if it was going to be able to clear 6 inches of snow.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I would have liked to do 4.5 feet of snow, but Mother Nature, again, wasn't working with me.
How'd it go?
It went great. Check this out.
We're going to see if the windshield wiper can do what I hope it can do. Let's see. Ooh. That's pretty good.
Nice.
So yeah, basically two wipes. The motor didn't get bogged down, which is astounding. It's an insane amount of snow that it has to push out of the way.
Did you preheat the truck?
I did for about 10 to 15 minutes. So there, it definitely was...
slippery.
Slippery. Just the fact that I could start driving. I mean, you may be saying like, oh, but you didn't clear all the snow off. It's true, but there isn't much else snow to worry about. I have my backup camera, which is all I use to see out of the back of my car,
right,
aside from the wing mirrors, which were fine. So it totally worked, and I could have got going this morning in like 12 seconds.
Adios, muchachos!
Tesla Asia posted last week, built for any planet. Why did Tesla Asia post that?
Could Cybertruck be coming to China?
I mean...
why'd they say any planet? China's on this planet.
I know. I don't know. Comment down below if you think this has something to do with, you know, just going to Mars, or whether this is something about them coming to Asia.
I mean, it's definitely a good brand strategy. Anyone who likes the Cybertruck is going to be thinking about it and then go buy a Model Y.
Now, you remember last week, Farboud had asked Elon how he could help with this Cybertruck. He then posted how Cybertruck mission started, orders from Elon. So remember, Elon said for him to drive around and help people. How it ended. We left our Starlink with the Los Angeles Fire Department to use. In between, gave BBC internet so they could report live. Gave energy drinks to the National Guard. Interviewed by BBC and CBS.
And Elon said, cool.
That's so nice.
That's really nice to have a community of people that actually wants to go help people with their Cybertrucks.
It's really kind of weird that you can have a civilian helping a fire department.
Yeah, they've got better infrastructure than the fire department.
I mean, did this happen in like the 50s and 60s with like ham radio operators or something?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, I think there's a whole system where like ham operators are going to be able to communicate even in the worst disasters. But it's just crazy that we're going to have Starlink now and it's not going to be like, okay, I read you over. It's going to be the internet.
I know.
High speed, full bandwidth.
Now, you were talking about this earlier. According to Cox Automotive, the Tesla Cybertruck was the fifth best-selling EV in the U.S. in 2024, outselling the Ford F-150 Lightning, the Rivian R1S, and all of GM's EVs. And that means, ipso facto, as Cybertruck said, the truck that they won't make and that nobody will buy has become America's best-selling electric pickup truck in 2024. Thank you, Cybertruck owners.
No one will buy it.
No one will buy it.
It's pretty funny.
It is funny because legacy media wants to imply that no one's buying the Cybertruck and that it's going to stop selling this year and that it's going to just die out as a truck.
But at the same time, Rivian is just such an exciting company and we love Rivian so much.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to buy a Rivian except more people bought a Cybertruck.
Yep.
Crazy. And Rivian has had more time to produce the R1T.
Exactly. 2.5 year lead.
To increase production numbers, to hopefully increase demand and exposure.
Well, and they're still losing money on every sale, whereas Elon has announced that Cybertruck is now positive on profit.
Hmm.
Our friends over at Out of Spec got their Cybertruck light bar running.
Oh, hell yeah, brother. Cyber Beast with the light bar installed. This looks incredible.
Where's our light bar? It was supposed to come with the Foundation Series package, but it hasn't arrived.
I know. I keep checking my inbox.
Do you see better in the snow with the light bar on?
I don't know because I don't have mine, Tesla.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask Out of Spec. So the Cybertruck guy posted, if I don't lick my cameras every drive, I have a persistent multiple cameras blocked or blinded error. Tesla AI said, sounds like we should add fun flavored coating.
And Brandon said, Cybertruck needs a rear camera washer.
Tesla AI says, give that camera a little bit of personal attention, won't you?
And then Chuck Cook said, while I agree cleaning cameras while supervised is definitely something we need to consider, having an official post from Tesla AI about cleaning our own cameras is a bit concerning. You have a plan for this, right? Unsupervised can't have customers wiping cameras.
And Tesla AI responded, on a more serious note, a more comprehensive cleaning solution is being worked on. Now, is this going to be a retrofit that we all get, or is this just going to be something on new models?
I mean, I can imagine a very crappy looking, like, big tank of washer fluid on top of your car with some like hoses that go down to all your cameras.
Is this like one of those beer helmets that you
very similar, yeah, but with like little Arduino actuated valves and pumps. I think yeah, that's an easy one.
We'll have to get working on that.
It'll look great.
Perfecto.
So if you've been following the UK government's reaction to Elon's X posts, then this Cybertruck story should come as no surprise.
Yeah, the Greater Manchester Police stopped the driver of a Tesla Cybertruck in Whitefield, Bury last Thursday night, claiming that it is illegal to drive because the Cybertruck isn't road legal in the UK and it lacks a certificate of conformity. But I suppose these vehicles are okay. In a statement, the Greater Manchester Police said, "Whilst this may seem trivial to some, legitimate concerns exist around the safety of other road users or pedestrians if they were involved in a collision with the Cybertruck."
Again, this truck is fine, a 1946 Austin K2 box van in Netherwallop.
Or this food truck in Crudwell.
Or this, whatever this is, in Giggleswick, which is an actual town, by the way.
But a Cybertruck with all the latest safety features and anti-lock brakes is not?
Well, it's a bit sharp, isn't it?
I don't know.
You can't drive around pointy trucks. Up and down the square.
Governor, get out of that pointy truck. S.E. Robinson Jr. posted, "Cybertrucks entering the cyber tunnel inside Giga, Texas."
So are there human drivers in there?
I zoomed in with all my magnification might and I can't tell. I'm assuming there still are. But yeah, if anyone can let us know if those are actual like robo driving through the tunnel or not, that would be really cool to find out.
So that tunnel goes under the highway.
Yeah, we've shown you the other end a couple weeks ago.
That is so cool.
Hey, and if you want to find out more about Cybertruck, go where we go, to the Cybertruck Owners Club. Every week, they've got all kinds of in-depth, neat, granular data that you can get. So thank you for sponsoring us, Cybertruck Owners Club. So a big thank you to Climate Exchange for sponsoring this video.
If your resolutions this year include upgrading your car and giving to a great cause, Climate Exchange's annual EV raffle has you covered.
So they're giving away an EV worth up to $120,000. So that means their grand prize winner can fully customize any EV on the market, including any Tesla model, the Model X Plaid, the Cybertruck. The decision is all yours.
The best part, not only do they pay up to $120,000 for the car, but they also take care of all the taxes and fees on your prize.
Plus, they are also giving away two additional cash prizes, $12,500 for the second place winner and $7,500 for the third place winner.
Climate Exchange is a nonprofit working with states to fight climate change, and they need your help.
They've already sold over half of the 5,000 tickets available, so don't miss your chance to enter.
Head to carbonraffle.org/NYK to buy your tickets today.
The sale ends on February 26th, though hurry up. All right, it's not like Tesla isn't used to it by now, getting snubbed by a U.S. federal government agency, but it still sucks when you make the best electric vehicles in the world and the feds decide to not only ignore you, but actually work against you. Case in point, according to TechCrunch, the Department of Transportation will be awarding $636 million in funding soon for electric vehicle charging to 49 applicants, and Tesla won't be one of them.
Tesla, along with California's South Coast Air Quality Management District, partnered on the application for 9 high-powered DC charging stations for the Tesla semi-truck.
That wouldn't be valuable infrastructure for our nation. An electrified corridor for electric trucks that don't pollute the air, carry goods across our country.
No, let's keep that completely diesel trucks.
And it's not the first time it's happened either. In 2023, Tesla requested funding from the federal government's Charging and Fueling Infrastructure Program. That was a bipartisan infrastructure deal that President Biden signed into law in 2021. Tesla had applied for that and was going to spend $24 million of their own money to build out these 9 chargers. Now, that project was called Transport Electrification Supporting Semis Operating in Arizona, California, and Texas, or Tesseract. Anyway, Tesla applied for that, and of course, the DOT gave out $623 million to 47 applicants, but Tesla wasn't one of them.
This is outrageous. It's unfair.
Wait, that was another round of grants that Tesla didn't get?
Yep. According to my research, so far, the federal government has spent $1.7 billion of the $7.5 billion allotted by Congress, and Tesla has not received any of it. According to the AP in November, there are currently 214 operational chargers in 12 states that have been funded through the law.
Oh, good. So that's $7.9 million per charger? Good job, federal government.
So just to be clear, so far, there have been 3 funding rounds from this bill, right? About 150 applicants receiving these funds, and none of them were Tesla. So for all those people who are constantly on Facebook posting things like, "Tesla's gotten so much free money from the government, they're wasting taxpayer dollars." No, No, not true. Tesla has applied for some infrastructure money in this case, like many companies have. In fact, EVgo got funding, ChargePoint got funding, Volta got funding, ABB got funding, but not Tesla. Tesla, the company that has built the largest high-speed EV charging network
in the world.
Let's not give them any funding because they don't know what they're doing, but EVgo does.
And Elon posted, here we go again, sigh. And Homar's catalog posted, this decision hurt the American people.
And Elon agrees.
And this is why Elon's been so upset with Biden and that administration, because they're just trying to do good things. And all these other companies are getting plenty of funding to do it. But of course, they are not allowing Tesla to get any of the money. And hopefully that'll change as we go forward, because even if you're for or against government spending, you can at least see that if you're going to spend the money anyway, you should spend it on companies that know what they're doing.
Or at least like there's a level playing field question. There's all sorts of different ways to look at this. And most of them don't involve going like, yep, seems like everything's totally normal here.
So Ray posted, new Model Ys are on the way to Tesla stores before the Chinese New Year.
Chinese New Year is on Wednesday, January 29th this year.
And we've been hearing from a couple Tesla Shanghai sources that Tesla will not be closing Giga Shanghai for Chinese New Year this year.
Seems hard to believe, but we'll see.
Yeah, if they don't pause production, that'll be a really good sign that Tesla is pumping out all the cars they can. But yeah, I find it hard to believe because Chinese New Year is a serious holiday and it'd be like working on Christmas. So I feel like maybe those sources are wrong. We'll have to find out. So the latest version of the Tesla app, version 4.41.0, now separates miles driven on full self-driving and autopilot miles in the Tesla insurance trips section.
So?
Well, this might mean that Tesla insurance could reduce premiums for miles driven on FSD versus manually driven miles. Tesla insurance is still only available in these 12 states.
Why is it taking so long for Tesla insurance to come to more states?
Well, each state has its own insurance regulations and requirements, and Tesla must navigate these individual state laws, and this includes obtaining approval from state insurance departments, and Tesla needs to secure insurance licenses in each state, which involves not just meeting the regulatory requirements, but also you have to set up local operations or partnerships to handle claims, customer service, etc. And get this, insurance companies spend a lot of money lobbying politicians. I did some research, and in 2023 alone, they spent $157 million just on lobbying. And basically, they're doing everything they can to slow Tesla insurance from entering new states.
Because this would be one of the first times that you have a car that is directly integrated with an insurance platform. Up until now, it's been kind of like through your phone, and all they can really tell is like, are you speeding?
Right.
Oh, if you're not speeding, you get a lower premium. But with Tesla, they're going to be able to learn more. I haven't been particularly happy with Tesla's insurance thing because it's based on, you know, like forward collision warnings, which are sometimes wrong.
Well, actually, there's some stuff in the new Tesla app. So Tesla app updates has decompiled the new code in this version of the app, and it shows some new things that may be coming.
Like what?
Well, like the Tesla Diner in Hollywood has some dedicated user interface assets now in the upcoming app, which shows that it may be coming soon. Cybertruck rear wheel drive, which hasn't come out yet, may not include an automatic tonneau cover or AC outlets.
Interesting. So this is probably to try to keep the price down?
That's my thought. Another one is hands-free trunk frunk feature for Android phones with UWB.
What's UWB?
That is ultra-wide band technology that allows for very accurate locations down to like 10 centimeters or 4 inches. This could affect kind of what phones people might buy in the future, because right now it's only on like flagship models of phones, but maybe this will be something you'd want if you're a Tesla owner.
Oh, so basically if your phone has this, then your car will know where the phone is in space around the car.
Exactly.
So you could walk up to the trunk or the frunk, and if you stand there long enough, it could do something. Like
exactly.
Open the trunk
or it knows that you're approaching the trunk or frunk. Right.
I see.
Another one is FSD usage may positively impact your safety score now, and Tesla insurance premiums might go down.
And that's what we were just talking about.
Exactly. And it seems like in the code, there's going to be an option to request a review for clearing safety score flags.
Oh, that's what I was just complaining about.
Yes.
There's this one car that's parked on my way to work, and every time I drive past it, like in human driving mode.
You still drive to work?
Oh, my sweet summer child.
Sometimes. And basically, every time I drive past, it'll be like, you're going to hit that car. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not. It's parked on the side of the road, but without fail, every single time I drive past it. And so, I mean, but would I have to do that every single time, though?
Interesting.
Because there's other times where it's like it'll see a mailbox or somebody walking on the other side of the street.
Squirrel!
and it'll give me the forward collision warning. And I'm like, good thing I don't have Tesla insurance, because otherwise my premium would have just gone up.
Yeah, I mean, there's a telephone pole right outside our house, and we have to go into the other lane to go into our driveway. And it thinks that we're like either going to smash into the pole
or drive off the road.
I mean, hopefully they'll implement Grok into the app at some point, and the AI can learn that and know that you're driving correctly.
But I mean, this is a huge update, because there's going to be a lot of situations. I think I'm going to say like half the time.
Right. Where it's not your fault.
It's either not your fault entirely, where someone is going to do something stupid and it really shouldn't have impacted your score. It's just completely wrong.
Right. Also in the code, it looks like there's going to be a live activity bar for roadside assistance. So basically it'll kind of show you like, hey, it's going to be here in 3 minutes.
Almost like Uber for roadside assistance. Right.
Another one is a display of the amount of time required for battery preheating before supercharging.
That could be really helpful.
Now, why is that for people who don't understand what that is?
I think a lot of people are going to be understanding it this week when it gets down to the 0 degree Fahrenheit mark in a large swath of the country.
Right, because right now you put it into that mode, but you don't know if it's going to take 5 minutes or 20 minutes.
Right, and basically if your car's battery is cold, when things are cold, chemical reactions happen slower, which means that essentially it's what's happening in your battery pack when you charge it or discharge it. There's chemical reactions happening. Everything happens slower when it's cold. If you want to charge fast, that means your battery needs to be warm. Those chemical reactions need to happen faster. And so Tesla will preheat your pack as you're headed to a supercharger stall. However, it's kind of an unknown. It may be like, oh, it's -6 degrees out today. I don't know how long it's going to take to preheat my pack. This is going to tell you on the app. That's really nice.
Another one is VPP event history. So it's going to show you if you're on a virtual power plant, how often your system was used and so forth, which is just really nice to know. And get this one. In the code, it looks like this screen will be coming up, which is showing that there may be support for up to 325 kilowatt chargers.
Ooh, more powerful chargers.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be part of V4 or what, but maybe it's going to be part of the mega chargers. Who knows?
And for people who are like, oh, yes, but, you know, Electrify America has 350 watt chargers. They do. And some cars can take advantage of it, but none of those cars are as efficient as Tesla's.
Exactly.
Maybe it's going to only be Cybertruck, but I would be surprised if the Model S couldn't take advantage of it as well.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Well, so we've been doing the show for so long that sometimes we sit down to report on a story and I'll try to pull a fact out of my brain, but then I realize that fact has changed. Like this week, we were writing a story about an EV and I was about to comment that it was more expensive than the average price of a new car in the US, which I thought was $35,000, but that's not true anymore.
Right, inflation. You know, when we started the show in 2016, the average car price in the United States was $33,560.
Yeah. That price kind of got stuck in my head. But guess what the average new car sells for in the US as of December?
I don't know.
$49,740.
Yeah, in 2020, the average selling price was around $40,000. That's just 5 years ago.
Then it popped up to almost $50,000 in 2022, and it pretty much stayed there.
The average new car price in the United States is $50,000. Wow.
Yeah, there aren't any $15,000 pickup trucks anymore.
Even a cheap Corolla is $23,000.
And you know, a long-range rear-wheel drive Model 3 starts at $42,490 before incentives.
Here in Massachusetts, most people can take an additional $11,000 off the sticker price. That's $31,490.
Right, because that's $7,500 for the federal, $3,500 for the state. Kind of gives even a Corolla a run for the money.
But most people don't even know it. And most people don't even feel it, because the last time they bought a car was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and the prices were completely different.
And ahead of the refresh Model Y being launched in the US, it appears that Tesla is offering discounts on inventory Model Ys, including free premium colors and upgraded wheels. I even saw a performance for $48,000 before incentives.
Discounts seem to range from $1,000 to $2,500. And don't forget, if you use a Tesla referral code like you'll find in the description, you'll save an additional $500 off a Model 3 or Y.
And $1,000 off an S, X, or Cybertruck, along with free supercharging for 3 months.
Feel free to use our referral code in the show notes. And thank you to all of those who have already.
All right, it's time for some SpaceX news. So on Tuesday, SpaceX launched a Falcon 9 from California with 131 payloads aboard.
Elon said over 100 satellites launched.
Then last Wednesday, Starship Flight 7 launched from Starbase. The launch went smoothly with Super Heavy Booster returning to get caught by Mechazilla. That was, again, breathtaking. Unfortunately, though, SpaceX lost contact with Starship itself. We later found out from Elon what happened.
Elon said preliminary indication is that we had an oxygen fuel leak in the cavity above the ship engine firewall, and that was large enough to build pressure in excess of the vent capacity. Apart from obviously double checking for leaks, we will add fire suppression to that volume and probably increase vent area. Nothing so far suggests pushing next launch past next month.
Elon went on to say success is uncertain, but entertainment is guaranteed. And I just want to point out, the Starship that blew up, that was a Block 2. That was a new iteration of Starship, right? So they had just come up with a whole bunch of new things on board. And when you have new things, things go wrong. And what you can see here is seen from Turks and Caicos Island of the blowing up Starship. The FAA has grounded further flights of Starship until a pending investigation into the incident. But we should point out that this explosion was well above where aircraft fly. So there was no risk to people or aircraft. This is all thought out well in advance.
On top of that, not only was it just like, oh, lucky he was above, they have people at SpaceX whose entire job is to make sure that all the airspace from takeoff to hopeful landing is going to be completely safe no matter when or how the Starship might blow up. So all of this was well thought out in advance. That's why all we've seen are beautiful, sparkly, glittery images of the destroyed Starship re-entering the atmosphere, and we haven't heard about any airliners blown out of the sky by debris.
Tara Bull said SpaceX thermal tiles washing up on the beach of Turks and Caicos this morning.
Elon said improved versions of the ship and booster are already waiting for launch.
He went on to say atmospheric reentry speed is more than twice as fast as a bullet from an assault rifle, and this is the largest flying object ever made. It will become as routine as Falcon rocket landings. Seems like I should explain what the game plan is for getting to Mars in more detail. Any individual launch is not very important. What matters is the expected date when Mars becomes a self-sustaining civilization. And then SpaceX went on and issued a statement showing that basically what we just said, everything was safe. And Elon said the booster flight was a success. The ship flight was a quarter successful, hence cup being 5/8 full. New ship forward flaps, higher thrust engines, and tile adherence on ascent were tested. Improved heat shield performance was the only major thing that wasn't tested, along with the PEZ payload dispenser, probably solved in next month's launch. The 9-meter diameter version of the Starship will probably fly about 10,000 times, so this is barely a bump in the road. Doesn't change the likely date at which Mars becomes self-sufficient.
And then we have this awesome picture of 33 Raptor engines, as Elon says, with enough thrust to lift a skyscraper off its foundations.
And you can see one of the new changes to Starship Block 2. Elon said you can see the much higher propellant mass fraction of the new ship designed by the percentage of rocket that is frosty. And so that white there, that's not paint, that is actual frost. And we just want to remind everyone that not only do the Mechazilla arms catch the booster, they also lift Starship into place on top of the booster.
Now, we asked our patrons this week in the Patreon poll about Starship. We'll share the question and results later in the show, so stay tuned for that.
Now, as if Starship 7 and 100 satellite mission wasn't enough, SpaceX launched their 100th Falcon from Pad 39A at Cape Canaveral on Wednesday, a double NASA moon mission.
The Falcon 9 carried Firefly Aerospace's Blue Ghost Lunar Lander, which aims to land in Mare Crisium on the moon, carrying 10 NASA science instruments. The mission will gather data for about 2 weeks on the lunar surface.
And iSpace's Resilience Lunar Lander targets a touchdown in Mare Frigoris, known as the Sea of Cold, located in the northern part of the moon.
This mission will take a longer route, expected to arrive in about 4 or 5 months.
Who's ready for vacations on the moon?
Our fungineers think it might have happened something like this.
We're whales on the moon.
Gray Bull Rescue posted, thanks Elon Musk for the site visit with LA Fire Department. Starlink is the answer to disaster and war zone communications. We use it on every mission. Can't thank you enough for your generosity and insights. Excited for next week. Gray Bull Rescue, like you, knows what the private sector brings.
And Elon said, these guys are cool.
And I just want to point out, this is a nonprofit that goes wherever they're needed and they help out, and Elon is helping them. SpaceX then posted, in response to the LA fires, the Starlink team has provided 1,350 free kits to fire departments and other disaster response organizations from Orange County to Malibu, in addition to applying free Starlink service for thousands of customers impacted by the fires in the LA area. And Amuse posted, insane, Los Angeles Fire Department whistleblower reveals that Governor Newsom ordered them to remove Elon Musk from the command post and to return all the Starlink satellite systems he donated to the department. Starlink then posted, Starlink is now available in Tuvalu, one of the most remote island nations in the world. This marks the 120th country, territory, or other market where Starlink can provide high-speed internet. And that is where it is, 700 miles from Fiji, over 5,000 kilometers from Australia.
Wow.
All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
If you want to get the best razor in the world, you can. You head over to HensonShaving.com, and you let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you by putting Now You Know in the discount code area. And if you put 100 blades in your cart, you'll get 100 blades for free.
So we reported last week that this would likely happen soon, and it did. The Westgate Loop Station at Resorts World in Las Vegas is now open. Elon said, try our underground tunnels in Vegas, way better than being stuck in surface traffic.
So fares range from $6 to $12, and you can basically get all over the place in Las Vegas. Pretty soon, they're going to be expanding it all the way to the airport.
And before we look into the future, let's peer back into the recent past for this next story. The canoe pickup is what Elon Musk wishes Tesla's Cybertruck was.
We should make sure that Boss Hunting and Gary Liu get credit for predicting the future.
Good idea. I especially like this line. If there was a you versus the guy she tells you not to worry about meme about the Tesla Cybertruck, the latter half would definitely refer to the canoe pickup truck.
Okay, so this article was from September of 2021. So how is canoe doing?
Oh, well, canoe has no future, unfortunately, because as we predicted many times before on the show, canoe just declared bankruptcy in Delaware.
So, I mean, maybe they'll pay off their suppliers and come back, right?
No. Canoe filed Chapter 7, not Chapter 11. So Chapter 11 is a reorg attempt, right, where you try and come back to life. But a Chapter 7 is a complete liquidation of the company's assets of $126 million. By the way, Canoe owed $164 million.
So why did they file for Chapter 7 now?
Well, to stay alive, Canoe needed funding from the Department of Energy Loan Programs Office. And since they couldn't raise more funds from foreign investors or from the government, basically, they were out of money. And back in December, Canoe furloughed 82 employees and paused production at their manufacturing facility in Oklahoma and started selling production assets like actual factory machines.
Didn't Canoe start under a different name?
Yes. They started back in 2017 as Evilocity. I don't know. Remember, it was started by those two guys from Faraday Future?
Ooh, Faraday Future. Why does that sound familiar? Is that another company that filed for bankruptcy? Oh.
But remember, then Evilocity, which became Canoe, filed for a SPAC in December of 2020 to go public. And I mean, our Patreon members knew to stay away because we talk about this a lot on Investor Club Bonus. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, there's their stock chart.
What? Wait, so at the very beginning, if you had invested $5,000 into Canoe, mm-hmm. it would now be worth
$1.35.
Woo!
Remember, you can only lose 100% of what you invest.
Yeah, there you go.
Unless you short it, and then you can lose more. All right, it's time for Going Green. So no surprise here. The Tesla Model Y was the best-selling car in Norway in 2024, and the Model 3 was number two.
And yes, we're including ICE cars. In fact, 89% of all new car sales in Norway last year were EVs, up from 82% in 2023.
It's kind of astounding, isn't it?
That is astounding.
It's like the problem we're starting to have, where it's like, where did I park? Oh, there it is. No, that's not me. No, wait.
I don't know.
There's a lot of gray Model Ys. All right, it's time for sunspots. So Legacy Media is at it again. This time they're blaming Tesla for a fire at the Moss Landing power plant.
Wait, isn't that where Tesla has like hundreds of megapack batteries? So Tesla's batteries are on fire.
Nope. That's what they'd like you to believe, but that's not true. So there was a fire at Moss Landing on January 17th, and it does house 3,000 megawatt hours of batteries, one of the world's largest battery storage facilities. But the facility that's actually on fire is owned by Vistra Energy and is not a Tesla megapack facility. Tesla has 256 megapacks at the site next door, but the fire was not at that location where the Tesla batteries are located. So, reporter who showed up and or probably didn't show up and probably just like, no, I think that's where the Tesla batteries are. No, that is batteries made by LG Energy Solutions. So these green batteries that you're seeing here, those are the batteries. Those are made by LG. And that's the facility that caught on fire. And Elon, who would know, posted to reiterate, the Legacy News headlines are false. This fire has nothing to do with Tesla, and our megapacks are operating well.
All the coverage I saw, all the coverage was Tesla Megapacks on fire. And I
not
kept,
true.
I was trying to do as best I could. I was like looking on Google Maps. I was like, okay, the batteries are here. Nobody seems to have a drone shot of the fire. I don't know why. But okay, the reporter's standing there and there's like a building in the way and there's a big fire behind it. And he's going, oh, I'm worried about Steven standing here, Bob. And mm-hmm. we didn't get to see the actual Megapacks on fire because they weren't on fire.
Nope. This is what I mean. Once you say that and it goes into people's brains, they just walk away thinking that, and that's the news they share with everybody. Oh, the water cooler, you know, hey, Bob, did you hear?
Tesla Megapacks have fire suppression built into them.
Exactly.
And there has been a small fire in Tesla Megapacks before, but it's usually one bay.
Isolated, exactly.
It's very isolated. It's usually less than 100 kilowatt hour battery that's on fire.
Yep.
And it basically burns itself out, and there's a bit of fire suppression, and everything's contained.
Yep. There's fires at power plants that aren't solar or wind or whatever all the time. It's just you don't hear about them. But yeah, of course, you hear about this and they report it wrong.
So where are we with global battery storage?
So we're installing grid scale batteries at a tremendous pace worldwide.
So where do we stand today?
Well, here's a chart from Bloomberg NEF of cumulative global energy storage capacity. And you can see that it's growing exponentially. According to this chart, as of the beginning of 2023, there was 90 gigawatts.
Wait, hang on. Gigawatts is not how to measure energy storage. That's how you measure energy that's being used. We usually measure energy storage in gigawatt hours. Power over time equals energy. Also, I want to know how much battery storage was installed globally as of the end of 2024.
Well, and that's the sad part. So here's a Bloomberg NEF. This is their new energy department, uh-huh. and they don't know how to actually label storage, which doesn't give you much faith. So I did some research. I used Grok and I used Gemini's new 1.5 deep research. And it took me a couple hours because I had to keep correcting Gemini that it was wrong. But I came up with 300 to 400 gigawatt hours of installed grid storage globally. That's as close as I could get the estimate.
I mean, that's a lot.
It is. Yeah. I mean, that's and it's growing fast. So, yeah. I mean, next year there's going to be probably closer to 500 or 600 gigawatt hours. Yeah, it's a lot. Hey, and if you want to get some batteries in your house or solar on your roof, but you really don't know even what questions to ask, talk to our friends at EnergyPal. They not only know the questions to ask, but they know the answers and they can save you a lot of money. Go talk to them. Their work for you is free. Tell them that Zach and Jesse sent you.
They're not a solar installer, but they will help you interface with solar installers exactly. to get you the best deal.
All right, so what do we have for video contributor story this week?
Well, Thomas in New York saw this.
So Zach, Jesse, I'm up here in Fayetteville, New York for service for my truck to get some snow tires. And last time I was here during the summer, there was one other Cybertruck. Now there's a lot full of them, at least 30, 40 Cybertrucks. So when I asked the service folks, are they all sold? And they said, yep. So for all the critics out there thinking that Cybertrucks are not selling, they're nuts. Now you know.
Wait, so all those Cybertrucks need repair?
No, they're being delivered to customers.
Oh, okay.
Phew.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know. Isn't that cool?
All right. It's time for Patreon bonus stories. So if you want to join us for as little as a buck a month over on Patreon, I know you've probably been hearing this for a while and you're like, what are you talking about? Head on over to patreon.com/nowyouknow. The link is down below. You can help support us and the work we do every month for just a buck a month. And you'll get all of the Patreon bonus stories that you're about to see. All right. We're back from the Patreon bonus stories. It is time for the poll. Now, we asked our patrons this week, do you think you'll fly on a Starship intercontinental flight in your lifetime?
And 59% said yes. The airplane seemed like a crazy idea in the early days. And now 1.5 billion people a year fly intercontinentally.
And 41% said, no, I'll stick to airplanes. Okay. All right. It's time for Elon's X's of the week. And Kanakoa the Great said, LA Times owner Dr. Pat Soon-Shiong says that it was a mistake for his paper to endorse Karen Bass for mayor in 2022. Competence matters, he says.
Elon says, I think we should applaud this change of opinion and admission of error. Admitting mistakes is a good thing in my book. Everyone makes mistakes. I have made many. What matters is taking corrective action for the future.
Rupert Lowe, MP from the UK, says more Labour MPs backing calls for a national inquiry. I count three now. The pressure on Starmer to do the right thing is building.
Elon said the pressure will keep building. The British public deserves answers, not cover-ups.
Jeffrey Skoll says, hi, Elon. I've been getting reports from friends and former colleagues who live in Pasadena that they're grateful for your implementation of Starlink powered by Cybertrucks in the area. They say it's the only way they are able to get vital news, and they wanted me to pass on their gratitude. You continue to impress with creative and rapid use of your inventions in unexpected situations.
And Elon posted a little heart emoji.
Philip Enberg says FSD 13.2 has improved highway miles between disengagements by 750%.
Ian Elon said this is what exponential improvement looks like.
Scott Adams says, how do normie cars compete with this? Looks like game over for 75% of the competition.
Alan Mullet says, hold on, you say there's a chance for 25% of the competition?
And Elon just laughed. Elon said, just wanted to express appreciation for President Donald Trump and so many people, both inside and outside of government, supporting Doge. I'm confident that the American people will be happy with the outcome. Andrew Tate says, all the people on X insulting Elon would beg for a picture if they ever met him. That's how it always goes, trust me.
Elon said, it's a good sign that people can insult me at will on my own platform, as it means freedom of speech is real. Sometimes people confuse freedom of speech with demanding that I also pay them to insult me, which is not the same thing. And that's a dig at Don Lemon.
Elon said the massive federal bureaucracy and unconstitutional fourth branch of government will do everything possible to thwart the will of the people. Then Matthew Stadlin, who is a BBC reporter, had posted back in 2021, I live in London, I've never been mugged, and never will be. I'm very much appreciated. And then the other day posted, had my phone snatched out of my hand from behind by a man on a motorbike this afternoon. I had the dogs on the leads in one hand and was typing stuff into the phone with the other while stood on the edge of the pavement. If you need me, please send a DM or email.
And Elon said, fate loves iron knee.
Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, posted federal regulations cost Americans $1.9 trillion each year. If this regulatory cost was a country, it alone would be the 12th largest economy in the world.
Elon said, slow strangulation by overregulation.
Mario Nefal says, Starbase teams rescue turtles over frigid weather.
Elon said, SpaceX team helping the turtles.
Elon says, I don't read the legacy media anymore. If it's not on X, it can't be very important. Zuby says, what's your primary purpose on X? Why are you here?
Elon says, I pass the butter.
What is my purpose?
You pass butter.
Which is a reference to Rick and Morty, which is funny. That's called a joke.
Shibutoshi Nakamoto says the SEC is suing Elon Musk for buying Twitter at artificially low prices, even though he bought it for $44 billion and industry analysts said it was worth more like $30 billion. Nothing makes sense, man.
Planet of Memes says the current SEC is a literal dumpster fire.
And Elon says, totally broken organization. They spend their time on shit like this when there are so many actual crimes that go unpunished. Elon then said, video games are meant for you to be immersed in an exciting and creative alternative reality and have fun with friends. Adding present-day political bullshit kills the vibe. Elon said testing Starlink streaming from Mar-a-Lago. This is a dicey test, as the Starlink antenna is partially obscured by trees, so latency and jitters will be higher as the terminal tries to connect with satellites further away that are not obscured. And then Elon said, congratulations on reaching orbit on the first attempt, Jeff Bezos, who, by the way, he sat with at the inauguration. This article about California DAs proposed making looting during emergencies a felony.
And Elon said, looting is not normally considered a felony?
Peter Sweden says, wow, Giorgia Meloni, president of Italy, says that George Soros is a threat to democracy. Weird how the media didn't report on that.
Elon said, Soros has done so much to undermine the foundations of civilization. Terrible. And Biden just gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Firmer says, Elon and Jeff Bezos talking about space.
Elon said, Step Brothers is the perfect meme for Jeff Bezos and me.
Doge Designer says, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos in 2004.
Elon says, wow, a lot has happened in 21 years.
Then this article, Italian journalist Cecilia Sala freed from Iran with Elon Musk's help.
Adriano says, wow, is that true, Elon?
Elon said, I played a small role. I did not have any interaction with Iran, just recommended support from the U.S. side. Elon then said, the New York Times is evil propaganda. Kimball Musk said, I'm thankful for my bro every day.
Elon said, love you, bro.
Mario Nefal says, Treasury fines $31 million in Social Security payments to dead people, calls it tip of the iceberg.
Elon said, entitlements fraud is greater than 10%, maybe greater than 20%.
How do you pay a dead person? Like, what? It just sits in their account?
I thought, does it just sit in their hand?
Mario Nefal posted, shock report, DEI quotas and budget cuts fueled LA's fire disaster.
Elon said, I'm not saying money was spent well, but even if they had increased the budget, the outcome would have been roughly the same. There need to be fire breaks, brush clears, and full reservoirs for this to work.
Doge says the last time a comprehensive review of the federal government was completed in 1984, the budget was $848 billion. National debt was $1.6 trillion, and debt to GDP ratio was 38%. The budget is now $7 trillion, the national debt is $35.3 trillion, and the debt to GDP ratio is 121.6%.
Elon said, maybe major and immediate action is needed to prevent America from going bankrupt.
Dolomite says, Elon, does the number take into consideration the pension liability owed by the federal government? I believe if it does, that number is even bigger. Please fact check.
Elon says, you are absolutely correct. When taking future federal obligations into account, the situation is far worse.
Elon then said, my goal is to fix government IT. This is harder than getting a rocket to orbit, actually. Elon posted, from MAGA to MEGA, make Europe great again. So many people in Europe lack hope for the future or think Europe is bad in some way. Pervasive pessimism. This will lead to the end of Europe. Therefore, it must change. Elon said, I lost my last bit of respect for Obama when he repeated the Fine People hoax in a speech right before the election. Miss White said, rumors are once again circulating that Elon Musk wants to buy a castle in Italy. Musk sipping a glass of Brunello while discussing space colonization under the Tuscan sun? Truly, we are living in the best timeline.
Elon said, I'm not buying or building a home anywhere.
Elon then said, I've been against a TikTok ban for a long time because it goes against freedom of speech. That said, the current situation where TikTok is allowed to operate in America but X is not allowed to operate in China is unbalanced. Something needs to change. Elon then posted, civilizations either expand or they die. I prefer the former. Mario Nafal said, bureaucrats panic as Trump's efficiency squad approaches. Federal workers are frantically scrubbing policy from job descriptions and hiring DEI roles as Trump's DOGE looms.
Elon says, we are tracking name changes. Their trickery will fail.
All right, it's time for community mail time. Remember, send us your photos and videos and stories to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
Well, we got another Tesla level.
Trickster.
Trickster. So Peter is a trickster. He is in the top 4% of users who have gone off grid.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now, I don't know how he's gone off grid because his solar offset is 57% and he's only self-powered 28%. But that is a lot of solar energy generated over the year.
Yeah.
And look at the amount of money that he didn't spend on electricity.
Wow. Ignacio spotted a Zeekr 001 in St. Moritz, Switzerland.
Brian reviewed the Newburgh, Pennsylvania supercharger. And he also found out that it also recharges other non-ICE vehicles, too, that aren't EVs.
Wait, they're horses.
Horse
Wait,
and buggy.
So if they're blocking the supercharger stall, is that icing?
No. But you may be able to autonomously summon it away. Come here, Daisy. Come here, Daisy.
Francis spotted the Cybertruck from Smuggler's Run Off-Road Tours in Death Valley, California.
That looks like fun.
That does.
I like the World War II fighter paint job. Glenn spotted this Cybertruck in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Sheila's friend got a Cybertruck for Christmas.
Here we go.
And here's Sheila's dad.
That's all right. That is really something.
And mom.
Oh my, oh, holy s***.
That was 122.
Oh, no, I've never done anything like that before, Jeffrey!
We got some pictures of the Hollywood Diner.
Looks, oh, look, the superchargers are in.
It's coming along.
I don't know. It seemed to be going fast for a while, and then it's, I don't know, it seems to slow down a little bit.
That's LA for you. Christopher spotted this Cybertruck in, well, why don't you guess where this is?
Australia?
That is Lagos, Nigeria.
Wow.
So there's a Cybertruck in Nigeria right now.
Seth was at a rest stop in the Berkshires the other day, and he was surprised at the internet speed he was getting at the McDonald's. And that's because they were using a Starlink. Carl spotted this colorful Cybertruck.
Kind of reminds me of the Rainbow Fish.
The Rainbow Fish?
Remember that book? I don't think you got me that book. It was in my kindergarten classroom.
Brian got these shots of the Sunflare solar wrap. Oh, the one we talked about last week.
Now, I'm still unclear as to whether or not it actually generates electricity.
Hmm.
But I am excited about it. It looks cool.
Miranda spotted this Lucid in Seattle.
Doug is excited about the new Tesla store in Gainesville, Florida.
Nice. Robert spotted this Tesla Bolt in Chandler, Arizona.
Apparently, that's the nickname of the car.
Okay.
They wanted to name it the Bolt. I feel like that's a bit insulting to the poor Tesla, but whatever.
Carlton spotted the Cybertruck in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be useful when they have a power outage.
It's true. Albert spotted a BrightDrop EV Walmart van in San Ramon, California.
And Frank spotted this BrightDrop delivery van in San Ramon, California. Also, San Ramon is dripping with BrightDrops. Thank you, guys. All right, it's time for Supercharger Reviews. That's where you guys go out there in the world and tell us what's going on with Superchargers. Let's see what it is.
G'day, Zach and Jesse and the Now You Know crew, as well as all the viewers out there. Welcome to the Albany Tesla Supercharger Station. So here we have a six-bay reverse park charging station situated right next to the old Albany Convict Jail and the Great Southern Museum. Across the road is the Alchemy Cellar. They offer taste testing for you wine buffs out there, as well as gifts and homewares. On the other side of this T-junction, there is the Rustler's Steakhouse and Grill, which is open from midday until 2 for lunch. Then they reopen again from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. for dinner. 300 metres down the road that way is York Street, which is the main drag strip in town. It has pretty much all your needs and necessities for grocery shopping, restaurants, clothes, and other touristy stuff. There is some motel slash apartment accommodations nearby if you're in a pinch, but I highly recommend booking them in advance. Overall, I'll rate this place 9 out of 10. Keep up the great work, guys. I can't wait to see you next video. Now you know.
Morning, guys. Welcome to Cedar Park Supercharger.
I am plugged into 3C, but I mean, that part's fine. No big deal. I do notice over here on 3D that the plug is laying on the ground. Amenities, of course, there's a Costco over there. So if you want to come do your shopping, there that is. There is a group of restaurants and such here. There is an In-N-Out Burger down there. So anyway, if you're here during the daytime, yeah, this is great. At 6 something in the morning, well, there's not really anything open. I mean, there is a hotel right down here, Spring Hill Suites Marriott. Presumably, if I had to go to the bathroom, I could go there. I mean, this place used to be packed all the time. And the last few times I've been here, it's been more like this. There's one other car and I here. Let's call this a 5 out of 10. And now you know.
Hey, 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 what's happening, Sock and Jesse? My name is Quake. And we're here at Saskatoon Supercharger, right? So there's 250 kilowatt supercharger. And I got my dinosaur model S 2016. But shout out, because that one has a free lifetime supercharging. All right, so, and here at Saskatoon, pretty much you got everything, all right? You got A&W, got Subway. But like everything, superchargers always in the back, all right? So there's a few walk for some bathroom. All righty. I'm gonna rate this one. It's always on, so that's good. That's automatic 4 points, and there's a bathroom, so 5, and pretty much that's it. And there's two third party flow, and there's a Hyundai Kona, so I'll give it a 6 1/4. Alrighty, my name is Quake, and now you know. Bye.
Sup, Zach and Jesse. We're here in Orange Beach, Gulf Shores area, down in Alabama, and we're doing our first supercharge here, and we are watching our buddy pull away there in his Cybertruck. We have 12 superchargers here, and then over here we have 10 destination charger. We got the wharf here to go shopping. Plenty of food, plenty of things to do. These are all free. Obviously, these you have to pay for. I would rate this, I'm going to say a 10 out of 10. Have a good one, guys. We'll see ya.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. We have our website, nowyouknowchannel.com. You can go over there and see all the Supercharger reviews. They're on a map, so you know where they are. You can plan trips. You can also upload your own. So if you see a Supercharger that hasn't had a review, or if you want to upload another one anyway, you can do that there.
All right, what do we got for new Superchargers in the world?
We got number 29 in Missouri is the 8-stall version 4 in St. Robert, Missouri. We
got the 12-stall version 4 in Frisco, Colorado.
Number 84 in Virginia is the 12-stall in Yorktown, Virginia.
Number 2184 in China is the 3-stall in Shantou, China.
We have an expansion from 5 to 8 stalls, version 4, Zadar, Croatia.
An expansion from 8 to 28 stalls, version 2s and 3s in Michaelwood, UK.
Number 38 in Finland is the 8-stall in Jamsa, Finland.
Number 525 in California is the 32-stall version 4 in Fresno.
Number 183 in Texas is the 12-stall version 4 in Abilene, Texas.
Number 236 in Canada is the 16-stall version 4 in Ingersoll, Ontario.
Number 11 in Turkey is the 8-stall version 3 in Balıkesir, Turkey.
An expansion from 20 to 24 stalls in Cary, North Carolina.
Number 174 in the UK is the 20-stall version 3 in Rotherham, UK.
Number 47 in Colorado is the 12-stall version 4 in Longmont.
And number 104 in New York, number 2,534 in the United States, and 7,008 in the world is the 16-stall version 4 in Champlain, New York.
So we topped 7,000 this week.
And so the 7,000th, by the way, went to Missouri.
Nice.
In St. Robert.
I wonder if it got like some special paint or something. Please go review it.
Go paint it. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Jack and Jesse said I could spray paint.
Spray painted in gold, man. It's so cool.
Yeah, 7,000 superchargers in the world. It's amazing. And thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us today.
Now, maybe you've been watching the show for a while now.
We are, after all, the longest running show about EVs, space, disruptive technology, and sustainable energy on YouTube.
We've been doing this weekly, consecutively now, going into our 10th year.
If you're new, then welcome. And if you've been watching for a while, then welcome back.
Either way, like us, you must be curious and excited about everything going on all the time. So much to keep up with. It's hard to find in the legacy media, isn't it?
And when you do find it, they report it incorrectly.
And that's why these folks are so important. They keep us going financially and spiritually.
Join them over on Patreon and get your name here, because these people really make our work possible.
As Elon says, we are the media now.
We'll see you guys next week. Now you know.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.